I'll just read about 8 verses myself, and you follow along with me, if you will. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity together. We do thank you for the lives that have been lost of our loved ones, family, and countrymen that have died to keep us free and keep us healthy and all the different things that we've been blessed. We've been richly blessed, and you have watched over us, and we thank you for it. And we thank you also for those that have suffered the loss of in their own families and whatever. And it's a time that we ought to give a memorial. We thank you, Lord, most of all, for dying for us, saving our souls and changing our lives. Thank you for all your blessings. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give and touch every heart and life in this room or that's hearing me. In Jesus' name, amen. I decided to preach on a priest. You need a priest. Did you know you need a priest? I'm sure many of you do. You know you need a priest. Look at the second verse there. God, first verse, sundry times and divers manners, that means various, spake in time past before us unto the fathers by the prophets. You know what a prophet is? A prophet is a servant of God that takes the message of God and carries it to the people. You know what a priest is? A priest takes the burdens and the sacrifices of the people and carries them and presents them to God. The direction's different. Both of them are servants of God, but the direction's different. The prophet is the preacher. He's carrying the message of God to the people. He's an evangelist. He's a preacher. He's a witness. He's a soul winner. All of us are priests. When you're praying, say, for your friend, you're praying for somebody that's lost a loved one. You're praying for somebody to get well. You're praying for God to intervene in somebody's life. You're doing the work of a priest. And we all are priests. But what he said right here, that in a lot of sundry times, that means different times, and the book really came over about 1,500, 1,600 years of prophets and preached. And divers manners, sometimes he spoke in a audible voice. Sometimes he came down in a cloud. Sometimes he had people write, like Moses wrote the 5 books that they have there. So various ways, various things, how we got this word. But look what he says in verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus had about a 3-year ministry. He was about 30 years old when he really started his ministry, and he died at probably about 33 or 4, something like that. These last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. What we have in the New Testament is the eyewitness accounts of the people that heard the Son. Can you trust an eyewitness account? Well, of course you can. That doesn't mean that everybody's trustworthy, but again, according to what is taught us in the Bible, this book is trustworthy. And I've been studying it for over 60 years. Actually, it's been with me all my life, because my folks were believers and they had the Bible and they told me Jesus was God and they told me the Bible was the Word of God. and that I could trust it. The only thing I could trust completely was the Word of God. Now, it says here that He's spoken to us by His Son. What a wonderful thing that I can listen to what Jesus said to Peter or Paul or James or to the multitudes. That's a blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. You know, there's a lot of confusion in all the world out here. And one of the things they're really confused on is they think good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Do you know that's not true? A lot of bad people are going to go to heaven because they repented of their sins and got their sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God changed them, and He's going to worship with them, bless them, love them throughout all eternity. Can you think about eternity? I can't. I really have a hard time thinking that big. I don't know about you, but this 80 years, of course, it seems like it went by just a few days ago. But it didn't. It took a long time. It took 82 years to get it there, right? You know if you've had the experience there. Well, Jesus, His Son, He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Tells us in John chapter 1 that it's Jesus as the Creator. And that He made everything that's made. And it was made for His pleasure. You were not made for your pleasure. You were made for His pleasure. But you know, I've had a lot of pleasure in this life. I don't know about you. I like living. I like getting married. I like having kids. I love preaching. You may be through with me already, but I'm not quite through yet. I'm still wanting to shout and holler and praise God and read this old book. It says there, who being the brightness of His glory. One of the things that I think a lot of people don't realize, Jesus came so that you would know what God was like. When you look at the Old Testament and you see the various ideas of God and even the laws of God and the thou shalt not, and whatever, you may get a different picture of God and you may think that God is worried about the little bitty things. Well, He's really not. He knows the little bitty things, but He's worried about your attitude. He's worried about your heart. Over and over and over in this Bible, it speaks about your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And so Jesus came, and He's preaching. He made the worlds, and it said He is the brightness. Look at the verse 3. The brightness of His glory. Now, when you look at the Bible from the Old Testament, I love the New Testament much more than I love the Old Testament. I believe it's all the Word of God. I believe it's all true. I read all of it. But, and I have many times, but I love the New Testament. I mean, I just get enjoyment out of listening to what Jesus Christ has done for me. I guess that's selfish, huh? But that's the truth. I'm thankful for what God has done for me. Now, I've knocked on a lot of doors in 61 years. And I've talked to a lot of people, and I've tried to get them to believe what I believe and get saved, get their sins forgiven, get their soul ready for heaven. And to trust God and put Him number one. And you know what? People, the majority of the people, are not interested. They're not interested. They're looking for something for themselves, but they're not looking for something out of this life. They're looking for something to help them right here. Well, take a look at Jesus. When you look at God, He's so big. His brain is so great. The intricacy, the complexity of nature and life and the universe. Can you grasp that? I can't grasp that. Millions and millions of stars, maybe millions of universes. We don't know. There's so much out there, and we've learned so much in the last 100, 200 years. Wow. And yet, wow, it's too big. It's too big for me to think about. I used to think I was going to ask God some questions when I got to heaven. I'm thinking, why did you do this? And how come you made it this way? I think I'm going to be just like John in chapter 1 of Revelation, fall flat on my face while I look at him. He's too big. You really think you're smarter than God? I know some young people think they're smarter than God. I know some philosophers that they think, there is no God. That takes a lot of faith. It takes a whole lot more faith than believing in God. Now, what Eddie was talking about this morning about the worshiping idols and stuff like that. How in the world? It's foolishness. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth His handiwork. Wow. I've got all these things that I look at, and because they're still discovering new animals and new fish and new things, and you're never going to get through. As Solomon said, it's a great burden to your soul. It's a hard, hard work. It says right here, He is the brightness of His glory. When you look in the New Testament and you read the Gospels and you see what Jesus did and how He talked and how He was how He responded to people and how people responded to Him, you get a picture of God. You see what God's like. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe that all three are God. Father's God, the Son's God, and the Holy Ghost is God. I don't believe in three gods. I believe it's in one God. And He's manifested in three different ways right there in the book that He tells you. He's manifested as Jesus Christ. Now you can see Jesus Christ and you see His love and you see His compassion. You see His wisdom. You see all of these things and you get a better picture of God. You want to know what God's like? In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, He's talking to Philip. And Philip said, "Show us the Father." And He said, "Have I been so long a time with you, Philip, and yet don't you know me? He that hath seen me has seen the Father." God came in the flesh so you could relate to Him. God came in the flesh as a man, and He lived this open life with people around Him 3 years or so. He preached as an evangelist. He never was a pastor staying in one place. He wasn't a priest working in the temple, but He preached all of the message out here so you would know what God was like. And it's a wonderful thing. I like God being like Jesus. Amen? Because I've never read about anybody as great as Jesus. I mean, you listen to what He has to say. And all these religious leaders, that we've got a whole bunch of them all out in the world. When I was a missionary in Guatemala, I climbed mountains for pastime. Me and the boys would do it. And we climbed various hills and mountains and go up there. And I'd go up there and pray a little bit and read my Bible. And it was a good exercise. And you get up and you see all those other volcanoes that were down on the cloud level. And you think about God. Wow. God's made some wonderful things. And He says here, who being the brightness of His glory. You want to see God? Take a look at Jesus Christ. And look at the second part of this verse 3. The express image of His person. You see how detailed that is? The express image of His person. What you see in Jesus Christ is what God is. And that's one of the beautiful things about Jesus Christ coming. And coming in a body of a man, becoming the Son of God. And He reveals God to us in a beautiful, beautiful way. I don't know about you, when I read the Old Testament, there's many, many places of great wisdom and beauty and blessing. And yet there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of things that aren't exactly really clear. But when you come to the New Testament, wow, it's the express image of His person. This Jesus Christ has revealed God in His heart, in His mind, in His thinking. And not only that, He dies for us. He becomes our substitute. And not only that, what I'm going to try to speak on this morning is He becomes our priest. Now you need a priest. You need a priest. Some of you think, I don't need a priest. Yeah, you do. Because you can't come into God's presence without a priest. And Jesus is that priest. Amen. And what I want to talk to you about today is about the Son. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look at verse 4. He's so much better than the angels. So much better than the angels. Why? Well, if you take a look at verse 5, it said, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. A lot of difference between angels and God's Son. And the same way with your family. You know, maybe a person that doesn't have any children would not maybe understand as clearly. But when it's your kid, whether you got 20 of them or you got just one, your kid has a special place in your heart. Now, these women that harm their children and men that harm their children are unusual. They're wicked and they're unusual. They may be crazy. But the average person defends his own child. They love them. Maybe some of these women need to be taught how to love their children. That's what Peter says. He says, teach the women. The older women should teach the younger women how to love their children. Well, in some cases, that's needed because the mother does not have the normal response. But the normal response, you want to see the normal response? Go out to a T-ball game, their first game. Funniest thing I ever went to. It was the best. Eddie invited me down, I think, to Brian's T-ball game in Del Rio. I drove to Del Rio to see a T-ball game of a grandson. It's amazing what grandfathers will do. I got more fun out of that game. You know what? This little kid come up here and he hit the stick. Boom, you know. And 22 kids just went everywhere. And you hear the parents back here in the bleachers. Hit it, boy. Hit it, boy. You know, it's their boy up there getting ready to hit. And he had never hit a ball in his life. I went back several months later when they knew how to play the game. Wasn't near as much fun. That first time I see these parents and they're screaming and they're yelling and it's their kid. You ever had somebody say, the coach needs to put my boy in? Well, the coach doesn't believe your boy's as good as the other guy that got in there. Or maybe he's taking turns or whatever. Hey, it's my boy. He's the best, right? You know who Jesus is? He's God's boy. He's God's son. You think he doesn't have some weight there? You think he doesn't have an opportunity for blessing and for talking to his father? I don't know about you and or your family. I didn't have to knock at my dad's house. I didn't have to knock and request to come in. I just opened the door and went in. And I was told that. I was told even if I'd been a bad boy and got myself in trouble, come home. Come home. Well, I want to talk to you about the priesthood from the book of Hebrews. I hope I can finish what I have to say today. I'll try to. This one who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself, purged our sins, sat down. Jesus is not now purging your sins. Jesus is not now suffering. Jesus is not now having to do the work. He finished it and sat down. And he finished it by himself is what it says. Wow. Talk about a gospel to preach. We got a gospel to preach. We really do. Now, in chapter 1, verse 8, the last verse I read to you, under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He's not just the Son. He's God. And let me tell you what, he is the judge in all of the judgments. Look in the book of Revelation, you're going to see various different judgments. Jesus is always the judge. You're going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ in all this world. You're going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the face of the earth, when they get down to the great white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ, Christ is going to be the judge that's sitting on the throne. What a wonderful thing. Now look at chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to use verse 1 and verse 5 here. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Notice what it said in 3:1. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus came as a prophet, the greatest of prophets. And he was introduced by the greatest Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist. And when he came to preach, he declared God unto us. He declared righteousness. He declared love. He declared salvation. Wonderful, wonderful messages. I just love them. I just love them. You know what you ought to advise people that are new Christians to do? Read the Gospels. Read them over and over again. Before they go anywhere else, before they took the Old Testament, or they try to understand Paul or Peter or whatever, or the book of Revelation, read the Gospels. Read what Jesus had to say. Look at the way this man handled every situation that came to him and the love that came out of him and the understanding. Wow. But you know what he is? He's our high priest. Now, there might have been some good priests in the old days. Could have been. And there were some. There were some also some sorry priests in the old days. Some of them even that we thought were pretty good, like Eli. Well, God judged him because he wouldn't judge his sons. So he was not a good father and he was not a good priest because he allowed them to make people despise the worship of the Lord because of the way they treated the people and what they did. He says here, he's the high priest of our profession. Now, we're going to read several things in chapter 7 here, but I want you to understand the reason why he is a great high priest, he never ends. He's not going to die. Now, you hear him electing a pope every once in a while. Now, he's their high priest in the Catholic Church, the pope. Well, they get old and die. They don't get to the office till they're old anyway. They don't put a 20-year-old in there. To be the Pope of the Catholic Church. And I'm not trying to criticize the Catholic Church. I'm just thinking you to recognize something. We get old. I've been preaching over 61 years. It says yesterday when it's past. Well, I know all those years add up. But when I look back to it, doesn't seem near as long. I got here too quick. I'm retiring doctors. Every year, my doctors are retiring on me. And I got to get new doctors. That must be I'm living too long. Maybe I was good to my parents and I lived long upon the land. My poor parents, they had to raise me. Can you imagine? No, most of you can't. But I had a mama that loved me and a daddy that loved me too. He's the high priest of our profession. Now, what did I tell you about the prophet and the priest? The prophet speaks to you from God. Takes the message of God, he brings that message to you. The point of direction is towards you. What does the priest do? He takes your troubles. He takes your burdens. He takes your sacrifices and he brings them to God. The direction is different. Now, Jesus is our high priest. And let me tell you something else. You're never going to need another. If you make Jesus Christ your high priest, you'll never need another because he's never going to die. And he can always be representing you in the presence of God. What a wonderful thing. Now look, if you will, at chapter 3, verse 1. Well, that's where I was reading, chapter 3, verse 1. And verse 5. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken after. But Christ, now we're going to compare. Actually, what Hebrews does is compares Jesus to all sorts of religious people and prophets and angels and things like that. And he has better than. But the message of Hebrews is Jesus is better than. And he's a priest. He's better than any other priest you can get. You need a priest because you have sin. Sin cannot walk into the presence of God. Therefore, there is a priest that can get in the way. He can communicate with God and he can communicate with you. And he can also carry your burdens into the presence of God Almighty. And Jesus can do that because he's sinless, because he's the Son of God, because he's the express image of God's person for you to see. He's in good, close fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So there we have him. A high priest of our profession. Now look at chapter 7 and verse 21. That said unto him, the Lord swear, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you'll know that Melchizedek is listed in the Bible as the king of Salem, which would be Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he came out after Abraham had been fighting the five kings that had looted Lot and the country about there, the city that was there. And this Melchizedek is a high priest of the Most High God. All of a sudden, he just appears on the scene. And all of a sudden, he disappears till you see him right here in Hebrews with Paul talking about him. Anyway, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Abraham paid tithes of all of the spoils that he got in that war. He didn't take it for himself. He took it for the other guys that came along with him. But he took, before they got their thing, he gave a tithe of it to Melchizedek. That's before the law. Some people say, do you supposed to tithe? Yeah, I think he's supposed to tithe. I don't know that it has to be storehouse tithing. It all has to come into the church. And we don't do it that way here. You can support missionaries with it. You can support pastors with it. You can support tracts with it. You can do a lot of things. But it ought to be given to the Lord. I believe it's the Lord's. I don't believe it goes out of style. But anyway, Melchizedek got offerings from the Lord, and he's of a different priesthood than Aaron. Now, Moses' brother, Aaron, is made the great high priest, and his family is priest on down the line. What happens to those priests? They get old, just like you're getting old. You may be 10 years old. You think, I'm not getting old near fast enough. You want to be grown. You know the problem with that? They always want to mow the lawn before they can. When they get to the age where they can actually handle a lawnmower, they don't want to mow the lawn anymore. I know that. My daddy, when I left home, got married and left home, my daddy bought him a power mower. He didn't have this power anymore. And so he got a power mower. Yes! Amazing thing. We always want to do something that we can't do. Anyway, talking about chapter 7, verse 21, says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It is not the Aaronic priesthood. Jesus was never a priest in the temple. He never tried to take over the place of the priest in the temple. He's got a different kind of priesthood. You look at Melchizedek, he's a mystery. I personally think Melchizedek is a representation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I might be wrong. That's just my supposition. But at any rate, what you've got here is a priesthood that is not down the line. He's never going to be replaced. He didn't have to follow anybody. And he's never going to be replaced. What kind of a priest you got there? One that's unchangeable. Think about some other things. He was made a surety of a better testament. I have had a few sweet Christian people who have gone back under Jewish law. Blows my mind. I've tried to talk them out of it over and over and over again. It's sure, the law coming down was a glorious thing. But salvation by faith in Christ is so much more glorious that it shines where the law doesn't have any glory at all anymore. Once you see salvation as a gift from God given to you eternally, all because of God's love, not because of your righteousness, how in the world could you turn back to some beggarly elements as an Old Testament Jewish law? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Jesus even tells it an opposite way. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You never did that a day in your life. Buddy, when you see it, you know you need to repent. You know you haven't given God enough. I know. I love my family too much. I love myself too much. I love pleasure too much. I love this world too much. But I do know God ought to have all of my worship.
Yes.
Because of what He's done.
Amen.
He's glorious. And His mercy that He would reach down and take a 20-year-old kid and save his soul and change his life. That's what He did for me. Thank the Lord. He said, verse 23, they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Hey, that's pretty good. And by the way, he's not going to get any older. He's got his eternal body. I'm looking forward to it. Every once in a while I get up and I'm a little wobbly and I start to turn around and think I'm going to fall. And I got a pain where shouldn't have a pain. And I can't remember what I went into the kitchen for. I think, Lord, let that 33-and-a-half-year-old eternal body come soon. All right. They were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, verse 24, because he continueth ever, he never dies, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now this last year, I have actually retired 5 doctors. One of them I'd had for 25 years. Another one 20 years. I didn't like that. I don't like going into a doctor that's got pimples on his chin. And I know they're smart guys. I do, but they're young. And they may be smarter than all of us older ones. I don't know. But at any rate, the idea I'm getting old. Now, Johnny, you're not. I mean, all that white hair. They couldn't continue to be your priest because they died. But look at this verse 24. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now he makes a conclusion. Anytime you find a wherefore or a therefore in the Bible, what has gone before brings you to a conclusion. Wherefore, verse 25, Hebrews 7:25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, makes us more beautiful, attractive, who is holy. You realize there's some priests that aren't holy? There's a whole bunch of them. Harmless. There's some that aren't harmless. Undefiled. Separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Oh, he's able to save them to the uttermost. What can this priest do? He can save you now. 50 years from now. 100 years from now. 1,000 years from now. Because he never ceases to be your priest. Isn't that beautiful? I think it is. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. There's several ways of handling that verse. It's a beautiful verse, and I've used it many times in dealing with somebody that didn't think they could be saved. I said, Jesus can save you to the uttermost, taking that to mean all the way on out, however far it takes. Amen. Or, I've done this in prisons and jails, and I said, he can save to the uttermost the wickedest sinner in this room. Can get his sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, the same way I did and you did. That's to the uttermost. Reaches out there a long, long ways. There's not been a door that I've gone to that the gospel could not have helped. I know some people didn't want it. I don't like people knocking on my door. I don't want to walk to the door to answer it. I'm that lazy. Just like people call me on the phone, they say, well, we're interested, and I click. I'm not interested. That's the problem here. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is chapter 8, verse 1. This is the sum. You want to know the answer? You know, in math, you add them all up and get the sum, don't you? Well, you're going to get the final answer here. Chapter 8, verse 1, we have such an high priest. He sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. There is no earthly priest, no preacher, no prophet, no guru in this life can do what he's doing. You realize how advantageous that is to you? Wonderful. My priest, who is interceding for me with the Almighty God of heaven, he's able. He's able. We have such a high priest. And he's not going to finish his work. He's going to keep right on doing it. You know, it's not enough to just get saved. Day by day, you lose your temper, or you get selfish, or you get lustful, or something happens. You lose your cool. And then, you know, you can still go to Jesus. You can still go to Jesus. He's still your priest. And he's still there. You can say, Lord, forgive me. I think all of our prayers ought to begin with forgiveness. I don't always do it. Sometimes I just burst into what I want to say to the Lord. But we all are so undisciplined, easily distracted. We don't realize what's important. And sometimes I've walked away and thought, oh, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that. That ever happened to you? Sometimes I have to ask God. I said, God, I don't guess I'll ever see that person again, but give me a chance. Let me see somebody else. Let me be aware of where I'm at and who I'm dealing with. It says in chapter 9, talking about this priest, verse 24, 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, not the temple, and not those church buildings you was talking about, Eddie, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. This great high priest that we have, he's not down here in some temple with blood. He's in the presence of Almighty God continually as our great high priest. Chapter 10, verse 9. Then he said, talking about Jesus, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And here's the he is, taketh away the first. God taketh away the first that he may establish the second. He's talking about the testaments. That old testament was honored by sacrifices and priests. And the New Testament is honored by sacrifices and priests. It's Jesus as the priest. And he took the other one out by paying the debt on the cross of Calvary. And now then, we have a new one. And Jesus Christ is in heaven presenting it in the presence of God for us. You talk about having it made. I would like to go into a court case where I had one son for a lawyer and another for a judge. It never will be that way for me, I understand. That's what you got in heaven. You got God the Father on the throne. You got Jesus Christ as the great high priest and the Holy Spirit carrying your petitions up into the presence of God Almighty. You can, in the middle of your car, in the middle of rush traffic, go right past all the entrances, all the doors, all of the obstructions into the presence of Almighty God, and your priest will be there working on you, waiting on you. That's beautiful. That's something that's wonderful to me. Now, look at verse 10. Here's a tremendous statement. And this would improve all of Christianity that I know if they do it. They believe it. By the which will we are sanctified, made saints, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday around here. But we don't believe that turns into the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe it's another sacrifice. Let me tell you what, it isn't. It isn't. Jesus didn't get crucified two times, three or four times. He doesn't get crucified again when you sin and you're wicked and you run off and make a fool out of yourself. One sacrifice for sins forever. That's the basis of your salvation. The basis of your hope to come before God. One sacrifice for sins. Not two, not three, not five, not 100, not a million. Forever. Never to be repeated. When he got off that cross and went to heaven, he sat down. His work was done. Oh, his work was great. His work was challenging. His work would blow the mind of any of us. But he did it. And when he did it, he accomplished for us this priesthood.
Wow, amen.
This forgiveness. This great salvation never to be repeated. No matter how much more you sin. By the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now look at verse 11. And this tells you what's happening on the earth today. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. Notice these other words, which can never take away sins. Did you know that the Old Testament blood sacrifices never took away sins? Even that. That was to teach them to look for the sacrifice that was to come. But those priests daily doing their ministering, and it doesn't do a bit of good, which can never take away sins. Look at verse 12. But this man, this priest you got, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, is that clear enough? One sacrifice for sins forever, sit down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Here we go again. Look at verse 14. God didn't want you to mistake this. For by one offering, listen to me, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I know sometimes you think it's pride. Or you think that, no, I am perfect before the throne of God forever. You are too. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then your salvation is complete, not because you did right, not because you prayed to God right, because Jesus made the right sacrifice. He paid it and He made it. Hebrews chapter 4. For the Word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Do you realize, just because the lights are out, it doesn't mean God doesn't see. Just because you don't speak the words, it doesn't mean that God doesn't know what was in your mind. Look who you're dealing with. I think sometimes we're like little children thinking the parents don't understand, or they won't figure things out, or they won't get caught, or I don't know. Kids are a lot of fun. And I had a bunch. So I have a lot of fun still. There's a lot of work too. Every one of those kids is a demanding little self-centered thing. Did you realize that? These poor mamas. Berlin had Eddie and Billy 13 months apart. She weighed about 135 when I married her. Nice lady. She had a good figure. Well built. When she got pregnant with Linda, she was 118. Because she's chasing Eddie and Billy around everywhere. That'll take the weight off of you. The Word of God, it's alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than a sword. It knows the soul and the spirit, the discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Everything is naked to it. You don't get away with anything. Get that in your head, young or old. Get that in your head. God knows the thought before you think it. He knows what you're going to do. Now look at verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Yes, we do. Man, we ought to clap for that. We have a great high priest. Praise the Lord. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, he's passed into the heavens. Amen. Jesus, the Son of God's His name. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows us. He knows we're weak. He knows when we get old. He knows when we got a sickness. He knows all those things. All of the things you work up for excuses when you're trying to get God to answer your prayer and take care of you, God knows it all. All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore. Now that therefore, every time you see a therefore or a wherefore, look for what went before, and the result is, therefore. Let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace.
Thank you, Lord.
That we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. I have been upset by having to go to a judge for speeding. You ever done that? The guy can put me in jail. He can take my car. He can charge me $1,000. He can charge me $50. It's all in his hands. No power in mine. That's just a human judge. On the street, I wouldn't pay any more attention to him than I would anybody else. Some of you are afraid to walk into the presence of God. And yet you shouldn't be. He told you to pray. One of the amazing things of Christianity is God answers prayer. That's that. Mr. Trump, President Trump, would not give me the time of day. But God pays attention to what I say. You couldn't get in to see the governor. You might, in a couple of years, work it out to where you could actually go down and have a conference in Austin with the governor. But you can walk into the presence of God in a moment because of your high priest. It says here then, what's the conclusion? Let us therefore come boldly. Like going into my daddy's house. Come boldly. I didn't knock on the door and wait for an entrance. Now maybe y'all were trained different, I don't know, but that wasn't the way my house was. Hey, I don't care if I'd been away. I'd been to New Mexico, about in the military, been to Alaska. They didn't know I was coming. Maybe. But I went into that house boldly. Like I belonged there. I did belong there. You know why I belonged there? That was where my daddy was. That's where my daddy was. Let me tell you what. Let us therefore, since we have such a great high priest in the heavens, in the presence of God Almighty, interceding for us daily, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. Now, what do you want to get? Mercy. You know, there's some judges and there's some courts that are there to punish the wicked. You know what this one is? Forgiveness, absolutely. Mercy. Mercy. You know why I'm standing here preaching? I had mercy. When I met God, it wasn't in judgment, it was mercy. All of my sins were judged in Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. God Almighty gave me mercy. I remember I disobeyed the direct order of an officer. He wanted to mess with me, and he gave me an order he should not have given me. He told me I could not go to church. And I said, well, you'll find me at 1009 West Alameda Street Sunday morning. I'll be out here when I'm through. That doesn't go well in the military. Maybe you don't understand, but they don't accept anything. Did you see Hacksaw Ridge? Have you ever seen that show? About the conscientious objector, what all he went through in his life? It's true. That happens all the time. You know something? God gave me mercy. God turned around things in my life. I didn't even ask Him to. I didn't even ask Him. I just prayed for mercy. I didn't know how things were going to work out. And I had a full bird colonel. That's a guy with an eagle on his shoulder. I had a full bird colonel say, at first he told me, I'm going to put you under the jail and throw away the keys. When I went back to him, he said, I decided to have mercy on you. You believe that? I believe it. Wow, it was something else. Woo! You talk about your step being just picked up a little bit. I did the same thing when I got saved. I had the burden of sin on my mind all the time. I knew I was not right. I wasn't even as good as my dad or mom. My standard was much lower than theirs. But I got saved. A friend of mine, 21-year-old, Tennessee boy, he took a gasoline truck that I usually drove and got killed on it. Burned up. Lived 11 days here in Brooks. They shipped him here from Roswell. Lived 11 days. No ears, no eyelids. Terrible fire. And it made me think 20-year-olds can die too. 20-year-olds can die too. We're celebrating Memorial Day tomorrow. There are a lot of 20-year-olds that died. They never saw a child, never got married, never even got grown, really. I don't think I was full grown until I was 25. come boldly. Don't hesitate. Amen. Don't worry whether God will accept you or not. Come boldly. Somebody in this room just might not be saved. Why don't you come boldly up and talk to God about it? Get in your heart. Why don't you confess your sins to God and ask Him to forgive you? Ask Him to save your soul and change your life. Some of you got troubles in your marriage, you got troubles with your kids, you got troubles in your body. Why don't you come boldly?